I love talking about my my niece Tekla, tiny Tekla, as my brother announced her when she was born. I love holding her, and I can't stop just holding her. I can't stop talking about her. What a gift! Thank you, Benjamin. A gift to our family, a gift to the world, really. How many of you have held an infant in your life? Yeah, everybody has held an infant at some point, right? You know that sense of awe and of love and of joy as you look into the eyes of a child, or maybe just at their closed eyes as he or she is resting in your arms. It's really too bad that we don't get to do that more often, right? We heard Linda speak to the children here this morning, and I was delighted how many of us were delighted by that. Linda goes to the Stollery Hospital, once a week? Once a week, and she cuddles babies there. She's there for the newborns or the prematurely born? Okay, the outpatient oncology patients' children, and that's another sign of how that coming together of those of us who are older and those of us who are younger is so blessed, is so wonderful. It's too bad we separate nurseries and nursing homes, because people in nursing homes just love children. They love young people. I'm considered a young person there when I go to hold worship once a month. And I was at Strathcona Care this week with Lynette playing the music, me leading the worship, and I could just see the love there, and I sensed it myself. To be together with people who are in wheelchairs or are in other ways restricted in their movements, and to sense that togetherness, this is right, this is good, this is what life is meant to be. After I had finished the service, I said, "Peace be with you" to all the patients. I go around, and even those that are sleeping, I wish them well. And I came to this one lady, and she was wide awake. She looked at me with a smile, and she said, "Good morning." I said, "Good morning." I said, "Peace be with you." And she said, "Okay, with you too." And then she added, "And keep out of trouble." We both laughed, and then I replied, "With you too, you too." And she looked at me with a twinkle in her eye, and she said, "It isn't so much fun, is it? We laughed. I don't know how much fun it is to get into trouble, but and I'm not even sure what she meant by that, but I'm always happy to be with older people, especially when I know that they are having fun, and I know that they enjoy having younger people, especially children, visit them. Now today we hear about two old people, Simeon and Anna, who were not in a nursing home, but in the temple in Jerusalem, and they were having more than fun that day, because we hear that they were rejoicing. Simeon, who was a righteous and devout man looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and Anna, who was worshiping in the temple night and day with prayer and fasting. Both of them seem to have been waiting all their lives for something. Both of them were looking for the consolation and the redemption of Jerusalem and the people of Israel. They stand for the many people at that time waiting for the Messiah. And I think they stand really, in a way, for all of us who are waiting for some sort of consolation, some sort of redemption, some sort of comfort, some sense that God is with us and that we are not stuck in the places where we live and work and where we feel like we need God. There was a song in the 1980s that came to mind as I was preparing for this sermon. It's by Phil Collins, and it's called "In the Air Tonight." How many of you remember that one? And there's a line in that that says, "I've been waiting for this moment for all my life. Oh Lord, oh Lord. And then he talks about how someone is drowning and nobody's there to save the person. And Phil Collins said, I don't even know what I was writing about, but it's a good song, a good drum thing in it. And I think this could have been kind of Simeon's song, because Simeon felt like there was something in the air that day as he came into the temple led by the Holy Spirit. And it could have been him singing, I've been waiting for this moment for all my life, O Lord. And now the moment has come. The Savior of the world is here. Now I can go in peace. The Holy Spirit led him. And Simeon embodies that anticipation that I think we all kind of feel when we come to worship, that we are sensing that here is a place where we are promised salvation, redemption, consolation. We come here expecting that, and maybe we don't always feel that when we come to worship. Sometimes perhaps we come here week after week, and yes, it's the same liturgy, it's the same this and the same that, and you can get used to that, and finally, perhaps, stop hearing the good news for the good news and what it is meant to be. But my hope is that as we come today and as we come again and again, that we do see our salvation here in the message and in the company of each other. So that we too, with Simeon, can praise God and we can say, yes, Lord, now I can go forth in peace from here. I can go back into my everyday world knowing that I am blessed. Simeon was an old man, and he was told by the Holy Spirit that he would not taste death before he'd seen the Lord's Messiah. And now that he has seen Jesus, this child of God, he can fall into God's arms and die, because he is holding in his arms the one who holds him and who raises the dead to life. The old man with the month-old infant in his arms, what a wonderful, what an amazing, what a complete picture of what life is meant to be. In the Old Testament, it says that the firstborn child belongs to the Lord and is to be redeemed by bringing that child to the temple or to presenting that child to a priest elsewhere. And this has to do with the Exodus from Egypt, where the people of God were saved from slavery under the Egyptians, and the firstborn in every Egyptian family was slain. And the Israelites were saved by the Passover and the blood on their doorposts from the lamb that was slaughtered. And so, as a reminder of this, they were to present the firstborn of every animal and every human to the priest. And because humans were humans, they were to be redeemed. In other words, they weren't taken by the priest. They were redeemed for the price that was set in the law of God, which was 5 shekels of silver, which amounts to about 50 to 60 grams of silver, so not a huge amount. But this was a way of signifying that life belongs to God. These children belong to God. And we give thanks to God for these children. And they are also a reminder of what happened in Egypt. And I imagine, if you were part of the people of Israel who were saved from the Egyptians by having the Egyptian firstborns slain, you would feel some guilt, wouldn't you? They call that survivor's guilt, I think, right? You survived, but they didn't. Those children were just as innocent as your children. It was the adults who were guilty of not letting the people go, not the children. And so you might feel that guilt inside of yourselves. And I believe that this presenting of the firstborn Israelite to the priests and the redemption for 5 shekels of silver was a way of dealing with that survivor's guilt. Here's a way to ritually deal with survivor's guilt. And I think That's a very important part of this story, is that Jesus was presented to the priest just like every other child. The Redeemer was being redeemed. Now, isn't that strange? But Jesus became like us in every sense, Hebrews tells us, and so it is maybe not so strange. How are we redeemed? We are redeemed not by silver or gold. We are redeemed by the precious blood of Christ, who gave his life for us. The firstborn of Mary, who was the lamb that was slain, the one who gave his blood for the world, so that no other child need be sacrificed, so that no other life need be sacrificed, so that all might see the salvation of God. It is not God's idea that anyone should die for anyone else, because that's why he sent Jesus. It is God offering himself, the high priest, Jesus Christ, bringing himself as the offering. Jesus came to take away our guilt, our shame. He came to heal and make whole. He came to bring us together in a respectful community of young and old, people of all nations, Israelites and Egyptians, all ethnicities, all languages and cultures. And then there's Anna, the old woman, the old prophet, who talked about this child, Jesus, the firstborn of Mary, to all who were looking for the redemption of Israel. As this child redeemed, he becomes the Redeemer, and Anna is the one who recognized that. She spoke to everyone about the redemption of Jerusalem. Mary's soul, Simeon said, would be pierced by a sword. Let me talk about these words for a minute. Mary would witness her son dying on the cross. John tells us she was standing there with the disciple John as Jesus was dying. Think about what was going on in her soul. Think about how her heart, her mother's heart, was pierced to the core. And then think about the fact that Mary represents the church, the whole church. That's an ancient way of looking at Mary, is that she represents us and believers of all times and places. So Mary's pain is our pain. It represents the pain that we feel as this Jesus is being nailed to the cross. And as the sign of Jesus, the cross is being rejected, not seen for what it is. Simeon says Jesus will be a sign that will be opposed. Not everybody gets it, this sign. Not everybody follows the sign. And how grieved we should be that there are people who don't see the sign for what it is, who don't take the direction towards God, who don't know redemption and salvation, who don't live in wholeness and in a community of respect. In the nursing home where said woman told me to keep out of trouble, there is also a man I will simply call Robert. And every time I lead worship, Robert is there, and he worships with such devoutness. He often raises his hand in a blessing. He blesses me as I raise mine in blessing, and often think, yeah, there's a Simeon. There's an Anna in the temple praying all the time. After worship, Robert always tells me that he prays for everyone in that room, in that nursing home, because he says, so many people don't know. So many need to hear and see the gospel. So many are lost. And he says that with a pained look in his face. And I think we can learn from Robert and from Simeon and Anna, not only to be present in the house of God and to worship God devoutly all the time, but we are also able to learn from them how much God wants to save everyone. We are so blessed to have the secret revealed to us about who Jesus is, how God is, a loving, forgiving, generous, infinitely patient God, a God who wants all to become reconciled to God and each other, young and old. We can learn that from Simeon, Anna, and Robert. We too can become a sign that will reveal the inner thoughts of many. And while we may experience opposition by some, we will be a light to others. A sign of redemption and of God's immortal love. We live in a time of great division. Whether that's around political issues, or whether that's around illness, we see it right now with the outbreak of coronavirus in China and how the Chinese community is suddenly suspect, and how the rumor mills are turning and how people are turning inward rather than coming together. And what do we need more to deal with a crisis like that than to come together? Rather than to divide ourselves, to come together for wholeness and salvation. That is what the world needs. That is what we learn from Christ. That is what we are about as a church. And that is what the world needs to hear from us and see in us. So let that light shine, so that all the world can see the salvation of our God. And the peace of God, which surpasses understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.